If you lie, for God's sake and yours, don't lie to him. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That's Steve Brown, and this is Key Life. He doesn't think of himself as super spiritual, but he is honest. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach it, to apply it to daily living. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. And if you were just listening to the introduction to this broadcast, I don't want you to lie, so don't send me letters. It was just an effort at saying something in a catchy way. But if you are going to lie, don't lie to God. And that's what we're going to talk about today, plus some other things, as we talk about how do you deal with pain and suffering. I suggested yesterday that the Bible doesn't give us many answers about why. Now, maybe we'll spend a little bit of time later on that. But frankly, the Bible doesn't speak to that much. It just assumes that you live in a fallen world. It assumes that you're going to have pain. It assumes that there will be persecution. And then it tells you what to do about it. And that's what we're looking about. We're talking about means of grace. And I'm not talking about the means of grace in the formal theological sense of that, but more in a looser sense as those means whereby God causes us to persevere even in the midst of the difficulty and the pain of a fallen world. And we talked yesterday, and I want to talk a little bit more about it today, is the importance of honest prayer as a means of grace, telling God the truth. Listen, when you're in prayer, be honest. Don't say stuff that is silly. That makes God blush. If you read the psalmists, you recognize that a great portion of the psalms are honest confession, honest anger, or as my friends Allender and Longman say in their book, The Cry of the Soul, an honest cry of the soul. I do not know what I would do if my prayer was religious. You say, wait, what do you mean by that? Well, I used to pray real religious prayer. Well, I still do. I have this liturgy, and so I do real religious stuff. And then God and I get down. I mean, then I tell God what I think. Now, I do the other stuff because I want to do it right. I want to have a formal prayer life that says the right things in the right ways, that will praise God and worship him properly, because that's the way the church has done it for 2,000 years. But then, after I finish that portion of my prayer life, I say, God, now let me tell you what's really on my heart. And he knows what's on my heart. Doesn't do for me to pretend. So my prayer isn't very religious at that point. Did you know that there's a ministry of accepting bitterness? A young, beautiful, angry woman, she sat across from me, and she started to cry. Anger didn't show at first, and perhaps she didn't even know she was angry. You have told me how badly your family and friends have treated you, I said to her. You say you're hurt. I don't think you're hurt at all. I think you're ticked. I think you're angry. Her denial, I am not, caught her off guard. Me too. Her next sentence was a little softer. Well, maybe you're right. She said that, and then she smiled through the tears. That was a rather angry statement for someone who isn't angry. Well, during the next hour, we began to look at some of the sources of her anger. The more she talked, the more I realized that she was primarily angry at her sister. And then I said, why do you hate your sister? I was surprised at what came next. No one could be as bad as the sister she described. Throughout the outburst, I just was silent. When she finished, she said, I wish she was dead. I said, why? Because, the young woman replied, she's beautiful, and she's good. I saw that young woman a week later, and she said to me, Steve, I feel so much better. I feel like the world is off my shoulders. I talked to my sister this morning, and we're on the way to reconciliation. Thank you for helping me express my bitterness. Later, I was praying about that situation, and I realized God has the same kind of ministry with me. If I'll only tell him, Most of the time, it's impossible to express anger and bitterness to friends because they are simply not emotionally capable to absorb or understand it. Who is? God is. That's who. If you're angry at her, don't tell God that you love him. He knows you're lying. Don't tell him that you know he's doing whatever he's doing in your life for a good reason. He is. He knows you don't believe that for a moment. You tell him the truth. He's maybe the only person in the world who can absorb everything you hand out, understand why you handed it out, and then say, come here, child, and he'll love you. Too often when we go through pain and suffering, our prayers become spiritual nonsense. If we would stop talking nonsense for a moment, God would say to us, come off it. Tell me what you really think. Once we believers who have had to go through difficulty and pain and suffering when our ropes break, understand that God can handle our honesty. The broken ropes don't seem as bad as they seemed before. Let me give you another means of God's grace. First, not only honest prayer, but honest fellowship, being real with each other. Another means of grace or help God has given us is a community of believers who will be honest with one another. Paul wrote to the Galatians, this is Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You can't bear till you share. We're often afraid in the church to tell people that our rope is broken unless they think we aren't spiritual. We don't want people to know that we're hurting because we fear they'll think less of us. We just remain silent when we're falling apart because we think Christians shouldn't fall apart. You perhaps remember the story of the evangelist and political figures caught in moral indiscretions. They come out every week or so. The initial stories are tragic. The charges are numerous. People caught, paying to keep quiet, being paid to keep quiet. And whenever that happens, you know what I do? I get on my knees and I pray for those ministries and the ministers who have fallen, not because I endorse their actions, but because they are a part of Christ's family. I pray for them because there is no sin I'm not capable of committing. I pray for them because they and their supporters must be devastated because it hurts the members of the body of Christ. It hurts me. I may have told you the story about Jim Baker, whom, by the way, I love. I didn't used to. I mean, when everything was good, I didn't like him a whole lot. I was on that program and praised the Lord back in those days. And then he fell. I didn't like even being on the program, but I had a chance to get to know him after he got out of prison. And there was a gentleness and a softness that was mirrored in the title of his book, I Was Wrong. And I remember telling Jim Baker about, on my television program, about being at a meeting of the National Religious Broadcasters where I was the speaker. I think it was the Southeast region. And I was getting up to teach, and one of the president came up to me and leaned over and said, Steve, I was just watching television in my room, and they're taking Jim Baker off in chains, and he was crying like a baby. He said, I think we need to pray for him. And I told Jim Baker the story. And so I got up, and I figured, well, I'd call on somebody in the front row to pray, and then I'd get on about the real important stuff of teaching. And I said, Sam just told me that he'd seen Jim Baker being taken off in chains and he was crying. You got to remember, the people at this convention were people who had been hurt big time by Jim Baker. Contributions were down. I mean, it was a bad time. And I said, Sam says we ought to pray. So I thought, and I look out over this auditorium, and everybody is getting out of their chair and getting on their knees, and they're praying for Jim Baker. And I told Jim Baker that the tears came to his eyes. And I realized that God came, that something was happening, something that ought to be happening a lot in the body of Christ, and that is that when you cry, I ought to taste salt. When you fail, I fail. When you are successful, I'm successful. When you're hurt, tell me about it, because we're a part of one another. I pray for the body of Christ when I read of those who have fallen, that in their fallenness we would create the kind of environment which requires other Christians to be honest with other Christians. I'm not for a moment suggesting that every sin extant in our lives ought to be broadcast or television on television or radio, or everybody ought to stand up in church and confess their sins. You hear about the priest listening to the other rather long confession of one of his parishioners, and the priest interrupted and said, "Son, stop it. You're not confessing, you're bragging." However, I do believe that every Christian ought to have Christian friends before whom he or she can be totally honest. It is so important that we bear one another's burdens. And you can't bear until you share one another's burdens. That means that incrementally, you don't do it all at once. But as you get to know brothers and sisters, you begin to very hesitantly tell them the truth about yourself. It is such a relief. It is such a relief to find out that we're all human beings, and we're all sinners, and we all fail, and we all need each other. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tape family, I'd like for you to be a part of it. Once you give me a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day, or give us a call, or you write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address, and ask to be a part of Key Life Tapes, we'll do it for you. And you'll start every 7 or 8, 9 weeks, you'll start receiving a tape with two messages on it automatically, and they keep coming as long as you want them to. And they're absolutely free. Now, these are not the broadcast tapes. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us how, we'll tell you how. These are tapes of places where I teach at the seminary, at Reform Seminary, at the Billy Graham Training Center, at the Lake Barkley Fellowship. And we send those tapes out to our family. Hey, listen, if you can help us financially, I sure would appreciate it. We'll be faithful with your gift, and you make it possible for so many others when you help us to receive these tapes and the free materials we send out. You can charge a contribution on your MasterCard, Discover, Visa card, and for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching Singing in the Storm. Hey, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.